Come here. Get off.
Hey, y'all. So welcome to this week's episode of Turn On. Today, we are reading Be Mine, an interracial polyromance novella, written by Savannah J. Frierson in 2020. So sit back, relax, get your wine, get your weed, and get your whatever you need, and enjoy.
Be Mine by Savannah J. Frierson. Why haven't y'all kissed me yet? Three pairs of eyes looked at her with surprise. After nearly a week of this new normal, that was the only thing that had, well, remained the old normal. Their stares had been too long, too intense for them to be satisfied with the brief, innocent kisses they'd been giving her. Why they'd been keeping themselves in check? Yejun shrugged. Why haven't you kissed us? Ingrid blinked. What? Kisses go both ways, Ingrid, Addie said, shrugging also. You can kiss us. We wouldn't mind. Ingrid started to say something, then she clamped her mouth shut and looked at Bibi. What say you? Bibi ducked his head and cut into his food. I mean, they have a point. You want me to kiss you? Ingrid asked for clarification. For a start. Yejun said. Or at least let us kiss you, Addie added. A flush that had nothing to do with pleasure overcame her. What are you talking about? Addie and Yejun looked at each other, then at Bibi, whose gaze remained riveted on his plate. The blonde man cleared his throat, his large shoulders rising and falling with his deep sigh. You tend to move your head when we kiss you? Move it how? Ingrid asked, her tone sharp and flint. Away, Yejun replied. You run away from us. Her jaw dropped. I do not. You do, Bibi insisted now, looking at her. Anytime we come near your mouth, you hold your head away or you turn so we just glance it. I don't know about the others, but I've been trying to kiss you for days before settling on the other parts of you that you don't mind our mouths on. Ingrid released a hyper laugh. Of course she'd been self-sabotaging herself. When presented with three of the finest men she'd ever seen, leave it to her to hold them at arm's length. She shut her mouth. She'd been about to say something self-deprecating and unkind about herself. Pursing her lips, Ingrid shook her head and started again. I apologize for making y'all feel you weren't wanted. She couldn't look at them as she spoke, the tickle in her throat having morphed into a pebble and then a boulder. The plate in her vision began to blur and she stood quickly. The chair groaned across the hardwood floor. Ingrid, I gotta go to the bathroom. Excuse me, she said, unsure if her words were audible for the tears that were threatening. She rushed into the downstairs powder room and shut the door, locking it for good measure. This was the second time she fled into a bathroom because of them. She'd been so sure she tossed her doubts aside, but apparently they boomeranged right back without her really noticing. The porcelain of the sink was cool in her palms as she braced herself on it. She let a few of her tears slip out before taking several slow, deep breaths and shoving the rest back inside. She was resisting the very thing she asked for and was on autopilot as she did it. Did she think a shoe was going to drop? That they see her, realize how woefully inexperienced she was, and change their minds? Once she opened the door over a week ago, telling Addie she wanted him to be her Valentine, all three had walked right in with confident strides. She was the one still hovering at the frame, poking your head in without fully committing, fully trusting that this was something she could have, deserved to have. The clinking of dishes being cleared from the table filtered through the door, and she sighed again. She needed to put one foot in front of the other like a big girl and stop tripping. What she wanted was right there for her to grasp, and all she had to do was reach out and claim it. Standing, Ingrid squared her shoulders and looked at her reflection in the mirror. No, she wasn't the greatest beauty, and maybe she carried more weight than health charts said she should, but not one man in this house had ever made her feel less than beautiful, desired, and wanted. That self-talk track she recorded and replayed in her subconscious had served its purpose when men she didn't want or didn't want her had entered her life. But they weren't here anymore. In this present, everything was mutual. She could do no less than honor that. Singing "I'm Coming Out" in her head, Ingrid left the powder room. All three men stood at attention when she came into view. "Hey," Yejun said, caution clear in his voice. He stepped forward, but just the one step, his hand reaching out to her. She went to him, sliding his arm around her waist. "May I kiss you?" He swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing. His hand squeezed her waist. "Yeah." He cleared his throat, his voice having come out higher and hoarser than he'd intended. "Yeah, I like that." She smiled, his response bolstering her confidence. She stood on the balls of her feet, bringing her body flush against his. He was firm and so warm, just like he'd been when he cuddled her during her cycle. Biting her bottom lip, Ingrid slid her fingers up his neck, feeling his pulse increase until she cradled his jaw. Yejun closed his eyes, his lips parting at the sensation of her touch. Ingrid guided his head down so his mouth brushed hers. She pursed her lips to increase the pressure, and he returned it. Yejun didn't take over, letting her direct the intensity and tempo of this first kiss. She kept it light, the feel of his soft lips on hers so exquisitely sweet. She broke the kiss and looked at him through her eyelashes. "Was that okay?" He smiled softly and bent his head, giving her his answer in the form of another kiss. This one wasn't gentle or hesitant. Yejun knew exactly what to do with his lips, how much pressure to apply, how raw her mouth should feel by the end of it, how wet she should be. Oh, how very wet. He only gave her a touch of tongue before drawing back. Ingrid clung to him because her knees had lost all their strength. His smile transformed from sweet to smug. "Was that okay?" he parroted, knowing damn well it went beyond the adjective. Ingrid hid her face in his shoulder, feeling him chuckle at her expense, then squeeze her with a strong hug. "That was amazing," he ultimately said. "I should swat you from keeping that from me all this time." She smiled into his shoulder. "You just want to watch my ass jiggle." "Baby, watching you walk away is the most bittersweet experience of my life," he said, and she laughed outright, stepping away from him. She clasped her hands in front of her demurely because she wasn't sure what else to do. "Thank you for letting me kiss you," she said. "Anytime," Yejun said, "and I'm serious about that." Feeling her cheeks flame, she looked over at Addie and Bibi. They both gazed at her with hunger in their eyes that made her breathless. Nevertheless, she recognized her desire was larger than her nerves, and she arched an eyebrow at them. "Would either of you like kisses?" Addie brushed right by Bibi before the man could say anything, took her face in his wide hands, and brought their mouths together. He was taller than Yejun by a couple of inches, so she had to strain her neck longer to reach, but Ingrid didn't mind. His thumbs were gentle as they stroked her cheeks in the same slow tempo of his kiss. He wasn't aggressive, no tongues entered the fray, but he coaxed her mouth to move against his with gentle nibbles and tugs. He wanted her as a participant, not a mere recipient, and she let go of her worries of awkwardness and followed his expert lead. When the kiss finally ended, Ingrid felt dazed. his woodsy scent overpowering. She also felt a zing of triumph that Addie's hands trembled and his breathing was unsteady. "We're going to have to do this again," Addie said, his voice raspy. Ingrid smiled shyly. "I knew you'd be a good kisser with those lips. Oof." Addie laughed and tugged her own bottom lip with his teeth. "Same here. Can't believe we haven't done this until just now. We wasted so much time." "You really did," Ingrid said, then looked around Addie to BB. "Your turn, I suppose, if you want one." "I do," BB said, but he surprised her by walking by and going to the living room. After sharing a confused look with Addie and Yejun, she also entered the living room where BB was sitting on a couch and patting his thighs. "I'm too tall, and the kind of kiss I want to give you wouldn't work." "Aw, shit," Yejun exclaimed, clapping and sitting down the armchair. "Gonna lay one on our girl." BB blushed and gave Yejun a patient look. "Logistically, sitting is better." "You gonna wait to sit every time you want to kiss her?" Addie teased. BB frowned, his growing self-consciousness evident, and Ingrid glared at the other two before sitting on his lap. She cupped his cheek in her hand and made him look at her. "Ignore them," she said loud enough for him and the others to hear. "They're just mad you were able to give me an orgasm by kissing my elbow." The ribbing abruptly stopped, and BB's shyness transformed into a smug smile. "I like giving you an orgasm," BB said, sliding a hand along her hip and waist. "Even though I didn't mean to, I just like kissing you." "And I like receiving it," Ingrid said, feeling more comfortable to admit that. "And I liked you kissing me too. I'd like for us to do it again, on the mouth this time." BB's smile was so sweet that she couldn't help but hug him. He held her close, her body trembling as he nuzzled her neck and jaw. She turned her head and kissed the evening growth of his cheek. Then they both moved so their lips could meet. He was the least assertive of the three, giving her the confidence to take what she learned from Yejun and Addie and use it on him. He squeezed her side as her mouth traveled around his, as her teeth nibbled his lips. However, BB didn't remain passive for long, and by the time they ended the kiss, Ingrid realized she was reclining against the couch's arm with BB hovering above her, breathing like he'd just run a marathon. The thrill thrumming inside her made her giggle, and she caressed his cheek. "You're an eager one." He shook his head and started to pull away, but her hand tightened around his jaw. "I'm sorry." "No," she countered, liking how red and swollen his lips were, how blown his pupils were, all because of her. "It feels good to know you desire me." He turned his face to kiss her palm, but his eyes remained locked on hers. "For a long time now," BB said. "Now that I can touch you, I'm greedy." A pair of hands settled on her shoulders and she looked above her to see Addie's face. "We all are." She looked around, but she didn't see Yejun. "Where's?" "Jumping the gun, most likely," Addie said with an exasperated sigh. Ingrid frowned. "What do you mean?" She heard thumping, indicating someone coming down the stairs. Yejun stopped in front of the television, breathing more heavily than normal. "Bedroom's ready." Ingrid's eyes widened, and Yejun's face colored at her obviously shocked expression. "I mean, if you are."
Okay, so welcome back. Thank you, Kenria, for that lovely reading. So look. Baby.
This book, yo.
This book is filthy in a good
it
way.
It is.
I was reading
quite possibly one of the dirtiest books we've ever.
Yeah. And this Which is not why, like a shame. It was just, yeah. So,
no.
Because, okay, so when we were starting to, when we were starting to talk about, when we were like planning for this episode and stuff, I was mapping out what was going on, and I called Cameron. I was like, girl, like, all this fucking in this book, and you picked to read a scene that wasn't fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Why is
that? That was on purpose. Okay, so a couple of things. One, the sex scenes are very long because they are very filthy, and there's four people who got to get off, and so it takes a long time.
And they do, because, honey, hey, I was doing a little work last night and was like, well, yeah. I'm going to go to bed now.
And then, you know, I think, yes, this is a show about sex, and yes, we're going to talk about the sex. But I was thinking about the fact that when people think about polyamorous relationships, particularly ones like this, where like everybody's loving on everybody, that they just go straight to the sex. And one of the things that I like about this book is that, like, Savannah spends a lot of time in the characters' heads, particularly in Ingrid's head, like, where she's, like, thinking about whether or not this is how she wants to proceed. And, you know, a little bit battling with her heart and with her head and all of that kind of stuff. But I like this scene because it's the moment that she's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm in. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And I think it's sweet, and I think it's just enough of a hint of the filth that is to come. And it does have them connecting on a physical level without it being who's inside of whom.
Yeah.
And I like that it was a prelude to that.
Yeah.
Because... And then, so, you know, sitting here reading really filthy stuff is not always that easy with an audience.
No, like, this always takes me back to that one story that we actually ended up scrapping.
From our original pilot.
Yeah, it was like, do it. Ooh.
And I kept laughing. It was a lot.
I was like, you know what? Nah.
Let's not do this one.
Actually, Tia Williams said, she was like, you know, writing erotic is difficult because in the wrong hands, done improperly, mm-hmm. it's either like cheesy or very icky. So,
and this is neither this is cheesy nor
icky. Yeah.
I thought it would be nice to give folks the sweet before, because we talk about it all the time. You know, sex is not just penetration, that there's things that come before, and that's what this was. And yes. Now and we want y'all to get this book and read this book and get into the feel.
This is the intimate bits of it, but yeah, girl. Yeah. Nasty. And I loved every bit. I was reading it on vacation, and I literally had to get up and go tap one of our mutual friends on the show. I was like, yo, Kimria is nasty. Like, she is nasty.
Yo, I read this book out like a couple hours. Like, I started it thinking, I don't know, it's like a Sunday, thinking I was just going to dip in and see, you know, if it was a possibility, because it was, you know, in our research period, and I couldn't stop.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. And I don't want anyone to, particularly Savannah, I don't want you to perceive us saying this is nasty, this is filthy, any way derogatory. I mean that in the most highest regard of, like, you did the damn thing. Yes, it was, you struck, like, good story, all of that, character development with just some good old raunch. And actually, we were talking about, I mean, this book isn't as much of that, but I remember we were talking about, like, what's the one piece that we wish was written, and you were like, jump in, bam, fucking from the beginning.
Even though this does not do that.
Fucking from the beginning, but the fucking that happened was like grade A.
Like highlight real shit.
Yeah, like, this is going down. So all that's say, we recommend this book to everyone. And that brings us to talking about what the fuck is the book even about? Because we jumped in talking about how good the sex was. So, do you want to give a synopsis?
Okay, I can try. You might have to remind me of the names. So, there's Ingrid, there's Addie, there's
BB and there's Yejun. Am I saying that right? You're probably looking at it. I'm not looking at it.
Yejun. Mm-hmm.
And they all live together, kind of, as roommates. So the three guys live together in, like, the big house, and she lives, like, in a guest house, and it's, like, she owns it, or her family does, or something like that. And they're all friends. Like, the guys are all best friends. Two of them work together. And, they, you know, they just, they hang out. They have regular hangout nights together, whatever. And then on ahead of Valentine's Day, Ingrid asks Eddie to be her Valentine. And it, like, opens this can of worms where he's basically like, hell yeah, but not just me. And apparently all three of them have been talking about how they all have feelings for her and how, you know, they all want to be her boyfriend. And then a lot of the book and what makes it so fantastic is just this, her negotiating what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Like negotiating with herself and then negotiating with them and trying to figure out what their life could look like as a
crew.
Partner crew, yeah.
Corporal. I'm trying to, you know, I have a couple.
Yeah, figure out what it is.
Corporal.
I'm sure there's a word for it. But it's you know, and we'll talk about this next week. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to be ethically non-monogamous. And in this situation, it looks like polyamory where all four of them are involved together. But she's kind of like the lynch.
She's the piece, because they don't really have sex with one another, right?
No, but they're
like
also...
they have sex in the same. You know, they're like really good. This they're brothers. They're brother husband, brother boyfriends. Like they're like. I mean, I hate using the term sister wives because I feel like people use it like so disparagingly nowadays. But they're really, like, you can tell that they're, like, good friends. They're brothers. They, you know.
Yeah, but when I think of, and again, you know, obviously I'm not in this type of relationship, but it's not as if, like, you know, each of them, like, she does have her individual relationships with all three of them, but they also, because they're all best friends, they have an emotional relationship, even if they're not. Although they're sexual. All having sex together, they're not like penetrating each other or anything like that. They're all in a relationship together, but she is like the piece that they all pivot around.
Yeah. Girl, I would love to be the center of anybody's universe, the center of a universe like that. I'm lying. I don't want to have to be that nice to many people. Not at the same time, you know, like it's, but I do think it's dope how she has like very individual relationships with each one of them. Like they have
like their different things that they do together.
And exactly. Like she, one takes her, walks her to work every morning. One brings her lunch, you know? And so,
It's like, you know, this concept of she's not trying to get everything from one person. Mm-hmm. So she gets like different needs met from the different men. Like BB is like the one who she connects with emotionally, right? So when she needs to talk through stuff,
that's the white guy, right?
Yeah, that's the white guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like a big teddy bear in my mind. He's like a big teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's the most. No, never mind. I was about to say something wrong. Okay, so. This all kicks off with Valentine's Day, where Ingrid's like, look, I just want to be held and loved and cherished and felt made to feel like I am a special bitch on Valentine's Day. That's all I need. She didn't say, but she was like, look, that's all I need. And it makes me think, because as I'm going through this dating process, you know, as I'm figuring my life out, I have had situations where I was just like, you know what? Right now, I just need a hug and a night together where we feel like everything's normal. Mm-hmm. Even though everything else is going wrong and, you know, not wrong. You know, like, it ain't going anywhere, but let's suspend those thoughts and ideas for just a night because I need some, you know, intimacy. I do that less now, I will say. Well, you know what? No, let me not even say I'll do that less now. I actually do it more now because I am more honest about what's going, you know, like I'm more honest. I got my nails done. I can't tell. I think I do it more now because I'm more honest about like where I am, the situation at hand, who, you know, who I'm dealing with, all of that. And it's actually pretty damn dope. I'm not saying that I do it a lot, but I definitely, in the past, before I kind of became sober, relationship sober, I would do that and not be like, I'd be like, oh, this is trash. It's not going anywhere, but we're going to play house for a weekend because that's what I want to do. And then by like Saturday morning, I'm like, we're going to make this work, you know? Whereas now I'm like, look, this ain't going nowhere. We know it's not going anywhere, but we want to snuggle. So let's just snuggle. And, you know,
yeah,
when it's all over with. But I like that. I like that Ingrid started out by saying, this is what I want. This is what I need. But I do think that she was selling herself short in this situation, and that's why. And you know, and so even because even when she initially asked
Addie,
when she asked Addie, you know, I'd be trying to, my good Midwestern tongue, I'd be trying to make things more difficult than it is. When she asked Addie about it, and he was just like, wait, what? Like, he was like, bitch, you selling yourself short. But she took it as like a rejection.
Like it was a rejection.
And he was like, nah, bitch, come on back.
Like, no, we got a proposal for you.
you had a whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Have you done that in relationships, either knowingly or looking back unknowingly?
Sell myself short?
No, not sell yourself short. Like, suspend all reality for the sake of getting what I need.
Yes, if what I needed was to be fucking codependent and,
this reminds me, we were in the pool on Saturday and I was like,
yeah, I mean, I've stayed places too long for sure. You know, I used to in my 20s. Kind of almost brag about the fact that I was always the one to end things, and they were always with good reason.
I was like, bitch, you should have done 6 months ago.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that. So, done that.
Yeah. Well, what about now? Like, have you had, outside of being codependent, have you just been, you know, at a point in a, you know, in your life where you're like, I need to feel like I'm in a relationship for a day. Come on over. Let's act like it. I know you got shit going on. Not shit as in like other families or anything, but you know, I know you got shit going on. What, you know, like we're still going to make it work. No?
No, I don't think I've ever done that.
Okay, well, Captain Dumbo over here at your service.
Nah.
So Valentine's Day, we've talked about this a bit because I think me and you have in the past been like, oh,
cool girl.
Valentine's Day. Yeah. Yeah. Where I'm realizing the more I've actually added it to my list. I want to be loved out loud.
Yeah.
I want to be like loved, like, because I'm the type of person, I love out loud. Like, if you my man, like, we are just like, I'm like, that is my nigga. He the best. And I want the same thing for me, right?
You deserve.
I totally deserve it. Baby, I deserve. That was me singing Tank and Mama D. What'd you say?
I said, okay.
But yeah, And so now I'm more of the Valentine's Day is a thing camp. And I want the flowers. I want the chocolates. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not going to eat them. I want a dinner. I want some fancy shit, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you get Valentine's Day with your current partner, right?
Oh, yeah. We don't do fancy. We do, I get my favorite flowers. And we eat Chinese food just because it's our tradition. And he buys my favorite pie, which is expensive as hell and has to be pre-ordered. And
I'll be showing up the next you day. You got some of that Valentine's pie.
And, it's just nice. Like, he writes me cards. He wrote me a card for our first Valentine's Day with, like, a poem in it. Like, this nigga. I was like, what? It's on my mirror perpetually. Like,
he wrote
mostly because I'm like, yeah, he wrote that.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I thought I showed it to you. Whatever. No, yeah. He wrote it. I mean, it's funny because he's funny. But yeah. And yeah, part of why it's on the mirror is to make fun of him. But
I like you good. I'm realizing that I like romance. I love the romance. I'm leaning into it, especially posting this show now. I'm leaning into loving the romance and the tradition and, you know, customs that relationships have. I went on a date recently and this guy brought flowers. Mm-hmm. And it was very, like,
it's sweet.
It was sweet, you know, like, I don't get flowers off. I mean, well, I do, but, you know, not like that. Like, only reason I get flowers off is because a bitch been in and out of hospital and surgeries and things. But, you know.
I send you flowers sometimes.
You do.
That don't have to do with you being in the hospital.
I know, but I ain't trying to fuck you, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it was just so sweet to, like, get flowers and, you know, like, be doted on. It was just like, yeah. So dope.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's weird. Initially, it was weird. I had to like kind of get past the. Now what do I do? But you know, it's like, no, this is beautiful. You
say
know,
thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. Put them in water. Mm-hmm. Have you had a memorable Valentine's Day? Either amazing or horrible. Or both?
I've had both.
Okay.
Give
me a high and give me a low.
So memorable, I've just been all the ones with my current partner. We just, yeah.
All right.
I mean, and they follow exactly what I just, like, champagne. Well, I can't drink anymore, but Chinese food every time, and we get our pie. One of the things I love about him is that he likes traditions as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we have created all these traditions for all of these things, like for his birthday, for my birthday, for my kid's birthday, for Valentine's Day, for
Christmas. I love traditions. Like, and I don't, it's just something about, I guess it's the type A-ness in me where I want to know, like,
what's going to happen. Yeah.
And how can we, like, riff on this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So okay,
it's just it's comforting, and it's it gives you something to look forward to, like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then we can build on them and do additional things, or like change them up. Like for his first birthday, not too long after we met, I baked him like my cake, like that cake that everybody liked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but then for his birthday this last year, I made what I had come to find out was his favorite cake, which I'd never even seen him eat before. But I found a recipe. I made that shit from scratch.
What kind of cake
is it? And he likes Boston cream pie. It's no as good as fuck.
With cream? You ate it?
Yeah, I tasted it.
Oh, wow.
But I tasted it.
It sounds like a Bubblegut Express, but okay.
Yeah, but it was worth it. It was really fucking good. And then I sent him home with the whole thing.
Like,
all right. I was like, take that out of my house. Yeah. But so, like, that's the way that has evolved, right? Like, I always bake for him on his birthday because he likes my baking. But so I just do different things or whatever. Hello? I pretty much realized I was getting a divorce on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
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 That sucks. So. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do you want to share exactly what it is, or is that
Nah. that's something I'm writing about. I don't think it's something I want to share here, but yeah.
Okay. I think that, as just to kind of go back about traditions, I think because I have experienced so much loss with the people that I love in my life, like, traditions mean so much to me because I have, you know, like, the one thing that I feel, I feel the closest with my mama when I'm, like, cleaning up my house, listening to the Preacher's Wife soundtrack, because for some reason that's my Christmas soundtrack, you know, decorate my house for Christmas Day, or, you know, making my granny's dressing for Thanksgiving. Like, the traditions are the one piece of me that I have to hold on to, the people that I love in my life. And I feel like, you know, like, that is what they handed down. That's what they have from their grannies and their moms. And so they passed it on to me. And so I'm going to pass, you know, like, it's just kind of the whole ancestor piece of it all. I like them in relationships also because, you know, like, that's my love. I guess, you know, your familial love is the first type of love, and it transfers on to relationships. Like, I love Valentine's Day. When we were little, and I try to do this with my son, but when we were little, my mom would always get, we wake up Valentine's morning and there'd be a balloon, card, and candy for each of us. Even when we were going through some of our, I'm about to start crying. Even when we were going through some of our hardest times, like, we always had a Valentine's Day card with more conversation hearts and a balloon, maybe a stuffed animal. So I guess that's, you know, I guess that's why it feels so good to me. Yeah. And yeah, for a long time I was like, I ain't doing Valentine's Day. You know, I don't have to do Valentine's Day. No, now I want all the shit. I want flowers. Good. I want candy. I want all of that. I actually went on a first date on Valentine's Day. We didn't realize that it was Valentine's Day, though.
That's funny.
We couldn't get reservations. We was like, what the fuck? And we was like, oh,
it's that day.
It's Valentine's Day.
It's interesting. I think, I know for me, the whole I'm too cool for Valentine's Day really came out of not really wanting to be vulnerable, right? You don't want to, for me, I didn't want to make this big deal out of this thing with this person who was perhaps not making a big deal out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to expose that by pushing. So yeah. It was easier for me to say that I didn't care, to not make plans, even when I was in relationships, because, you know, better to just shut the fuck up and not have it be made entirely clear that this is not what I wanted to
be. Not be big, not take up too much space, you know? Yeah, I'm now like, look, I like it. I want it all. I want it big. And if you can't even fucking scrape up enough energy to entertain me on that bullshit, you ain't for me. Because I'm going to scrape up energy to entertain you on a fucking NBA draft or whatever the fuck them people do with baseballs and things. So, yeah. Like,
yeah.
If you can't give me that energy, then I don't want it.
That's right.
Okay, so my Valentine's Day date. It was actually interesting because, like, you know, we had just been talking and, you know, getting to know each other. And it was like, I'm free this day, you free this day, you don't have your kid, I don't have my kid, we're gonna get together. And then as we were trying to like make plans, we were like, oh fuck, that's Valentine's Day. So we ended up like ordering food and hanging out, and it was a good, you know, it was a good situation. I decided not to, you know, like, this is literally our first date, so I'm not gonna put that pressure on you. Also, I had gotten flowers delivered from somebody else earlier that day. But, you know, I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on you. But I do also think that, you know, in a new relationship, Valentine's Day is always a little, if you're not dicey, if you're not talking, you know, because you don't know how much to spend on a gift, you know, especially if this is like your first holiday together.
Yeah, I'm thinking we don't really do gifts. It's funny, we were trying to think about it when we leading up to Valentine's Day this year. We were like, wait, do we do gifts?
I mean, shit, y'all Christmas and birthday gifts be fucking
Then we do random gifts, but yeah, no. And then we were like, oh, we don't do Valentine's Day gifts, and so we're like, okay, because we never did whatever, bitch. We didn't do them for the first one, and so we just whatever. But also, Valentine's Day falls smack in between his birthday and mine.
Happy, so it's like, Valentine's Day!
It's a lot.
Every day is a 14.
Basically,
girl, yeah. I'm literally having a. Like, do you see my face? I'm like sweating. I'm having hot flashes.
Oh, where's your little fan thing,
girl? It's whatever. It's fine. And we don't need the noise, but it's all good. Okay.
Take that thing off. Take off your sweater.
Yeah. I need to see what's underneath this. Yeah, I need to see what's underneath this. I don't have on. I have on a tank top, and right now my titties are like this. Like, one's on floor 3, the other one's on floor 5. Don't worry, we're getting it fixed soon, but yeah, so yes. It's all good. Something else. Sorry. Something else in the story. So, Ingrid had her period. And was that, like, the first, like, couple thing that they did together?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was like, so first, so happy I don't do that right now. I'm not menstruating, but it was cute and sweet.
It was. They were also very concerned.
And, you know,
So she has, y'all, she has dysmenorrhea. So incredibly painful period. And yes, go ahead.
Someone knows what that's all about.
Yeah, it's not great.
You know, get more in touch with myself, I need that kind of energy. I want you to, if I'm not feeling well, I need you to woo me. Like, give me all I'm tired of being strong and strong and resilient and all that shit. I want to lay in bed in a puddle, have you rub my belly, feed me soup, all that shit. Because I say this because I want to do the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. I might cuss you out when I walk out the room like this. Okay, all it is a splinter in his finger. But, you know, I think it's sweet. And I thought that was like really sweet because one, periods can suck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to, as a part of like the work that I'm doing, I'm trying to work on how to reframe menstruating, and I'm trying to reframe that so I don't want to, you know, be completely like, it's the pits, because I mean, because
for some people it's not.
Yeah. And for some people it is, and not because it physically is, but because they've like made it that, you know, like they've given it that energy, you know, in their head.
Some but people, then also for some sucks. People, it's because of it's a body dysphoria issue as well.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm
people who menstruate. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to. Yeah. I was going to use that because, you know, I recognize that like that shit is painful watching you go through it, watching my sister go through it. Like, I know that it is fucking horrible. And so I think it's, you know, I think it was really nice that her boyfriend's like honored her going through this and babied her and gave her all the things that she needed, you know? I was talking to this intuitive and we were talking about periods, and she was saying that, you know, she had two daughters and they would all come on their cycle around the same time. She was like, and my husband just knew to leave us alone. She was like, short of like moving out of the house for that time. He did, because it became like a ritual. She said it became a ritual in her home where her and her daughters gave their bodies everything that it wanted, needed, and craved in that period, because it was honoring it for what it was going through. And I thought that was a really good way of putting it, you know, like, not mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm bloated, I want chocolate. No, like, my body says it wants chocolate because it wants chocolate. It's going through some things. And so let's give it chocolate, as opposed to being like.
But why did that mean that he had to fade into the background? I don't get that part.
Because she was like, this ain't about you. This is about me and my daughters going through what we're going through in our body. And you can kick rocks. Mm-hmm. Let's center. She was talking about more like centering herself mm-hmm. and her womanhood and all of that, and telling her husband, kick rocks, it ain't about you. So, yeah. And as someone who no longer periods, but watches my close friend go through it, I thought that that little whole scene and situation was just so sweet. Yeah. Oh, also, can we give a shout out to their living situation?
Oh, that she has her own little house.
She has her own little she shed in the back, and then they have a house, and she like goes lives there with when them. She
wants to get away,
but she gets to go to her she shed.
Yeah,
when she needs to. Like, if I'm gonna have three boyfriends, I'm gonna need my own space.
Yeah, honestly, that shit sounds exhausting. I kind of
having three boyfriends. Fuck yeah! I don't want to be nice to three people.
Yeah,
I want to be nice to one person all the time, but you gotta be nice to me all the time.
It's not even necessarily about being like, I don't have a lot of time, and in past relationships, you know, men have tried to make me feel guilty about the fact that I work a lot and have other things going on that don't involve them. That's obviously not an issue now. My partner works just as much as I do. But we also
set up at your daughter's desk to do so.
Right next to me. Exactly. And so it works for us because we both are on the same workaholic wavelength, which is, you know, not healthy, but whatever. But we're also good at telling each other to, hey, put that shit down and come here.
Yeah, because y'all good at checking each other. Like, now, if only you took your own advice. So I'm glad that he has you to give. Whatever, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. But the idea of having to navigate that with three different people, I know me, and I know that I would always feel like I was stretched a bit too thin, and like I wasn't giving anybody enough of what they deserved, just because I've got so many things going on all the time. And then you add on like my health and being tired all the fucking, like I fall asleep on this nigga every day. I don't know how I would. Yeah, I don't know. It would feel daunting for me.
I never understood the whole "I don't have time to date" or "I don't have time to," you know, until I like in this period in my life. You really gotta be like doing some like sparkly shit for me to be like, okay, I'm a, you know, disconnect. I mean, we're just having this conversation. Moments ago. You make time for what you want, but
yes, for sure.
I'm not trying to want three people,
I wouldn't want it to feel like something that felt like work, not like something I'm working at, because that's really, you know, relationships require energy and intention. But I wouldn't want it to feel like, okay, let's you know,
now let me make sure I'm giving this person the time that they need. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, I guess you make the relationship what it is. But so
what you all want it to be, right?
Yeah. So maybe with one partner, it is we see each other quarterly because that's all we have for one another. But that's what works. Yeah, so, right. Again, to each his own. You like it, I love
build
it.
Build the relationships that work for you.
Yes.
Except for now, every time I hear "you like it, I love it," I just hear "says a black woman who neither likes nor loves it."
Yeah, but this time, I do like it.
Most of the time, that's true.
This time, I do like Anna. Okay. On to the... Oh. Girl. They were kissing a lot.
Oh, yeah, you don't like kissing. I'm like, why are you freaking out?
Okay. In that scene you read, they were doing a lot of kissing. I literally have kissing. Ick. They were doing a lot of kissing.
You was finna say something you shouldn't say.
Fuck it. Okay. So, you know I don't like kissing, right? Uh-huh. So my kisses aren't like right? Which, whatever. Until I kiss someone that kisses that way, and I was like, oh, bitch, this is horrible. I gotta fix it. Because it was like, it was not
passionate, or
it was just like, what the fuck's going on here? So
if you've ever kissed me in the past and you got this, I apologize, because now I recognize that shit was fucked up.
Yeah, it's funny. My partner will not admit that he doesn't like kissing, but I know that he doesn't like it as much as I do. So he totally kisses me just because I want to kiss, but it's definitely not on his list of like favorite shit.
So the thing is, like, I like kisses. I like snuggling. Like, I'm realizing that one of my love languages is physical. You know what? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. I like all the love languages, but I like physical touch. I love like laying in the bed, holding hands, kissing, you know, just lots of kisses on your face. If you have a bald head, I will just kiss that little noggin to death. But like the in the mouth, like, it's just really weird. So again,
not your thing.
I apologize, y'all. Also, in the scene you read, Ingrid had to give herself a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, this book, Savannah did a really good job of writing, like, what's going on in Ingrid's head, like, mm-hmm. how she's processing this. And so that point where she was having the pep talk of, like, well, I could hit the gym more. I do have this. And she was like, wait, bitch, wait.
Don't do that. Yeah.
She was like, don't do that. I don't like that. She said, she was like, ain't nobody got no problem with this. So why the fuck do I have a problem with this? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you need to have that outside reminder to remind yourself of, like, you a bad bitch. Keep it going. I had to burn.
I mean, you did successfully mute it, but also your face looked like you burped. So
that's a little details. That's a little fun. That is more incentive. So I was about to say excursion. On, yes. More incentive for you to watch us on YouTube.
Yes.
To
see Erica burp.
Yeah. Okay. Also, the consent that was written in this scene was just so darn cute. Mm-hmm. It was like, would you like? Yes, I would like. Ooh, I like that. Would you like? I just, you know, these young kids these days, It's just so adorable. This yeah, also,
how old are they supposed to be? I don't know.
I just talk about it. I feel like an old lady sitting on the porch. This reminds me about, I was watching House Party. And there was a scene where they were talking about, you got a Jimmy hat, you got a prophylactic.
Prophylactic.
Good Midwestern tongue. Anyway, and it, you know, it just like reminded me of how like in the 90s and early 2000s, there was lots of conversation around writing condoms into movie scenes, or like it was a part of the story.
Very much, yeah.
You know, I mean, granted, he did say backstage underage, but he also said the J, the I, the M, the N, the Y, yo.
Yeah, but they don't cancel each other out. Lord, have mercy.
Okay. But yeah, so, but I like how I feel like now we're seeing a lot more consent written into stories. The show, how it's done without it being weird or, you know, like awkward.
Or
it's just, if anything, is more like, cause you know, I'm a verbal bitch. I need you to tell me how good this pussy is while you in it. So I also need you to tell me you cannot wait to kiss me. Do you want me to kiss you? Yes, I want you to kiss me. How hard do you want me to kiss you? So I feel it in my pussy. I don't know if that's sorry, I am a hot mess. Okay, last point. Self-sabotage. When they were talking about the kissing, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were talking to Ingrid, and they were like, I was like, would you like to kiss me? And it was like, no, why don't you kiss me? It was like, well, why don't you kiss me? It goes both ways. Every time we look like we're about to kiss you, you run away. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about like the self-sabotage. Like, how do we, you know, keep ourselves, how do we shoot ourselves in our foot running from things? Did you ever do that? Or yeah.
I mean, my current relationship, as we talked about on this show, yeah. I mean, I basically ended it before it could start because I made what we call the unilateral decision.
Is that like the term for it?
Yes, capital letters. Yeah, when we refer to it, that is how we refer to it.
The
unilateral decision that I made. Yeah, I mean, thank God it didn't stick. That, you know, we were still hanging out, lying to ourselves, talking about we was just friends who hung out every fucking day.
R.I.P. Bismarcky.
Oh, yeah.
Now I don't know what I'm going to title this episode. Anyway, we'll get to that later.
Because they started out as friends.
Happy Valentine's Day. Or we could. Oh, baby, you. I think we're going to do just a friend. Just as a, you know.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P.
I think that works.
I'm sorry. Y'all totally in on a production call schedule right now. But it's okay. Yeah.
But also shows y'all when we recorded this. Just a couple days ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I think that's all I've got. You got anything else?
Just for our more gentle listeners out there, don't be afraid to read this just because we said it's filthy.
Yeah, don't be afraid. It's a good book. And
it's a fantastic book. It's well written and it's part of a series. So after I finished this one, I downloaded the second one and I read that the same day. It's incredibly well written. The characters are super well developed. They all have their own very distinct personalities and quirks and motivations. And it just, everybody feels realistic. Like, you care about these people.
Getting in Ingrid's head was like the best part to me. Mm-hmm. Like being able to kind of, you know, because if you are not exposed to polyamorous relationships, then, because this would be considered polyamorous, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like a legit relationship. Okay. But yeah, if you're not used to that and have been exposed to it, I think it's a good read on just kind of getting in someone's head on how they, you know, decide mm-hmm. to do this. Also recognizing that we live in the fucking world we live in where motherfuckers are judgy than a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
don't be hesitant to read it.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say, when I saw the subtitle, which is like something like interracial, whatever, I don't really read those books.
Yeah, definitely not on purpose. It's not that. Yeah, it, this book is just
There's no fetishizing. There's no. It's almost like they just happen to.
Even with Ingrid being a different. Even with Ingrid being a little thick girl, like it's not like
a big deal.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah,
there's no. No after school. Yeah.
And that's why I told him, you're going to love this fupop. You know, none of that.
Exactly. There's none of that. And at the same time, I'm trying to remember, honestly, if it was in this book or the second book. But there's no, they don't act like race doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as if race doesn't
It's in this book. It's at the end of this one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not, they, like, don't live in some world where race doesn't exist. They talk about it very, you know, matter-of-factly in the way that we all do. Yeah, because it's always weird. It's not fetishized, right, which I can't fucking do at all. But it's also not like there's, like, they live color. In some utopia. Exactly. There's not colorblind or no bullshit like that. It's just, like, these are, you know, this is just a part of who everyone is.
Yep.
And Ingrid is a Black woman, obviously. So
So, all righty. Well, that wraps up this part. We're going to pay some bills and then come back to
what's turning us on. Hey, y'all. Today's a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it'd be fun to have your own show like us, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. And Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show gets put online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, literally everything, within minutes of finishing and uploading your recording. We use it here for the Turn On, and I can truly attest to the fact that it's pretty fucking dope. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. So join over 100,000 podcasters like us who are already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Just click the link in our show notes and you'll be able to get your own account set up. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card and support our show. Let's create something great together. Sign up for Buzzsprout today. All right, good people. We are back.
So what's turn us on this week?
Well, so I guess because of, I don't know, the stuff I watch or whatever, you know, I get served a lot of ads for things on IG.
You got served. What you get served? I did.
So I'd seen this a couple of times, but didn't really, you know, whatever. But then my partner saw it and sent it to me. He like DM'd it to me on IG and was like, for the show?
So the reason helpful. You had no idea what it looked like in the package.
Okay. I wasn't the one who opened it and I never put it back because whatever. So
you were laying there twitching. Okay, continue.
So this is a toy that is like advertised online as like it's like a clit stimulator.
Wait,
but it's
I'm
also...
sorry. Can we say that this whole season of what's turning us on shows that Kimry is doing all the fucking. Continue.
Well, you did the first half of stuff because I hadn't done any like testing and ordering and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so it's it's like, you know, everybody in the comments. So there's like thousands of comments for this. And it's like,
show me.
I'm about to show you. It's like, I always wanted to squirt, but didn't think I could. And this thing, I use it to masturbate and I finish in like 2 minutes. Like, it's the ultimate. I don't even need a nigga no more because I got this thing kind of a thing. And so we, you know, we're reading the reviews and we're like, we should try this out. So this is it. It is quite large, actually.
Like, oh, but this looks fun. Keep going. Tell me more.
So for those who can't
see, I might have to stock some of them joints for myself.
Yeah. So it's purple silicone, and it's got two different parts to it. So this part is meant to be inserted. Mm-hmm. And you see it has these ridges, and these are for G-spot stimulation. And the whole thing vibrates. It's got controls for two different things, which, again, I don't know how to work because, anyway. So one of the buttons makes it vibrate, and the other button operates this part, which is, it's like a little circular part. And it's made to sit right over your clit and to suck it like a person would.
Yeah, I would fucking lose my mind with that joint.
Yeah, so we have used it as a, like a foreplay kind of a thing. So
there wouldn't be no afterplay with that joint.
Well, so we use it, like, he watches while I use it and he helps me position it. And then I finish in 2 minutes fucking flat. And then we keep going because it's fast. The one time that we and then we keep moving. And then I tend to keep coming, so it's nice. The last time we used it, though, I don't know if I didn't have a position right. No, not yet, okay. But it's coming. But I it's so fast. I don't even.
You got to keep going. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like it's too sensitive.
So the last time we did it, that's what I was going to say. Right. I don't know if I didn't have a position quite. I didn't come fast enough, and it basically, or maybe it was just turned up too high because.
Your clip was like, no!
I was numb. No! Yeah. I was numb by the time I was like, take this out. So then when we went to continue, it was hard for me to even like finish because it had numb my clit. So all that to say, listen to your body.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes. So don't turn that shit up too high. 2 out of 3 times I came damn near instantaneously. Shit is ridiculous because it is doing all the things all at once. And I don't know if y'all can see the scale of quite how large it is, but it's a decent size for a toy that's inserted.
Like
I'm doing a makeup tutorial
and it's spices.
And it's covering like damn near from my wrist to my middle fingertip. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty large.
Larger than
it's good. Yeah, so we'll put a link to the show notes. It's good for solo play. It's good for partner play. It's good for whatever kind of play you would like to do. Yeah.
Okay. Try it out. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that wraps it up. That wraps up this week's episode of Turn On. These are your two favorite ho-hosts, Erica, Killa, two hoes, making a clap.
Hey. Bye.
This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Hit subscribe right now on your favorite podcast app and at youtube.com/theturnonpodcast so you'll never miss an episode.
Then follow us on Twitter @theturnonpod and Instagram @theturnonpodcast. And you can find links to books, transcripts, guest info, what's turning us on, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com with your book recommendations and your pressing sex and related questions.
And you can support the show by leaving us a 5-star review, buying some merch, or becoming a patron of the show. Just head to theturnonpodcast.com to make that happen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla.